Previously on Willing to Adapt.
We will be discussing the classic 1950s Sabrina.
The Teenage Witch?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Although anytime I typed in anything looking up the movie, it automatically wanted to show me Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I may have watched the wrong thing then.
Yeah. The play that Sabrina is based off of, the play is called Sabrina Fair. There are quite a few differences between the play and the original movie, and you will find that the remake actually goes back a little bit to the play in ways that the first film did not. I find that most people prefer the original to the remake. There are some very polite vocal people who prefer the remake, but I'm always interested in what is it about the versions that people prefer. The next scene's a funeral.
Oh well, but did the actor have to go to the ER after
yes.
that?
Have you ever wondered how a book becomes a movie?
Or how a movie becomes a musical?
Or how anything is adapted at all?
Join us as we talk about your favorite stories and all the changes that were made along the way.
But more importantly, why? This is Willing to Adapt. Hi, welcome back to Willing to Adapt. This is Eric Von Crumley.
And this is Remy Reyes.
This is the second episode for our Sabrina discussion. In our last episode, we discussed the original 1954 version of Sabrina and a little bit about the play it's based off of. And so if you have not listened to that, go back and give that one a listen. You will not enjoy this one as much. All right, so I will just jump in here. I have learned that some people just want us to shut up and talk about what we need to talk about. They said much nicer than that.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
They said we go on tangents a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, Romy, when was the first time you watched this version, the 1995 remake of Sabrina?
So I'm pretty sure I have seen this one before. It was very familiar.
You were probably in high school or right going into it.
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters, I can tell you that much. But I did definitely watch it on TV when it was on. Someone must have had it on. In rewatching it today, actually, I remembered a lot of the scenes. And most of them were
familiar
to me.
And not just because a lot of them were similar to the 50s.
No, no, no. No, but I remember I remember when they're in the car and watching him pull his phone out. Or there were some scenes I had not seen, so I'm pretty sure it was on in the background and I just did not sit and watch
Your mother watched it or something.
Possibly, yeah.
All right, so the 1995 remake of Sabrina was directed by Sidney Pollack. You know what else he's done?
I know the name. The name is really familiar.
The one that you probably might know is Tootsie.
Oh, okay.
He's done quite a bit. It stars Harrison Ford, Julia Ormond, and Greg Kinnear. And I did not know this for the time, but apparently Greg Kinnear was not much of an actor before this film. He was a talk show host.
Really?
I did not know that. I was born in 93, so. As we said in the last episode, I was always familiar with this movie because it was one of my grandmother's favorites. She loved both of the versions. It's funny because I asked her one day, I was like, which of the two do you like? She's like, I don't know, they're so different. I like them both. I'm like, well, that's very diplomatic of you. It was interesting in this one because I did not know that this movie actually did very poorly in the box office.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
It made more than it invested in it by about 20 or 30 million.
Okay.
But by Hollywood standards, that's very bad.
Mm.
It's like they barely got back what they put into it, essentially.
Okay.
And what a lot of people credited it towards is too many people preferring the original.
Mm.
And I think when something becomes as iconic as the original Sabrina was, I find it very difficult for people to come into a remake with an open mind because they're automatically looking for what the changes are and are not going to be happy about them.
So, do you think it was just that or also because of the other movies that came out when this one came out?
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah, Toy Story was one of them.
Yep, Jumanji.
Yeah, Jumanji. And
Heat? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Father of the Bride Part 2.
Yeah, that one did well. So, it didn't do very well.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, both Harrison Ford and Sidney Pollack went on to defend the film, saying that it was one of their favorites.
Okay.
So there's that, mm-hmm. for what it's worth. I love this film. I will say it up front. I love this film. I prefer this film to the original.
Yeah, I figured.
I said in the last episode, I do enjoy the original. It's not that I hate the original. I have seen the original several times, and I will probably watch it again at least several more times in my life. But if I'm given the choice between the two, I will pick this one.
Okay.
And we will discuss why.
Mm-hmm.
So Sidney Pollack initially turned down the chance to direct this remake, thinking that the material was too dated to work effectively in 1995. And once he agreed to take it on, Pollack made sure that he had the approval of the original director, Billy Wilder. It's kind of cool.
So Billy, he was still alive?
I guess. He didn't go and talk to a psychic.
Yeah.
So the story of Sabrina in the remake is the same. It is the exact same plot, and the skeleton stays the same, but Julia Ormond, in an interview, said specifically that people need to understand that even though it's the same plot and structure, it is its own film.
Mm-hmm.
It's always weird when you talk about adaptations, because so many people come to the table with what makes a good adaptation, and everybody has a different opinion.
Yeah, I
because it's easier to say what makes a good movie than what makes a good adaptation.
It also is how much the original means to you.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely a lot of emotional attachment when it comes to movies. And I think that's what is difficult about some of these older films is I think there's people who grew up with the original films who they connect it not only to a bygone era, but also to family members who watched it with them and things like that. And so to watch a remake that changes things makes it really difficult for them.
Correct, yeah.
And I can get that. I can get behind that because I would say Disney's done a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not very happy with Disney for a lot of their live-action remakes.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's interesting because I think this remake is very much in the spirit of the original film.
Is an adaptation always a remake? Because, I mean, I would argue that, like, I'm talking more about exclusivity. So it's like a remake may not be an adaptation per se.
And adaptation does not have to be a remake, but a remake is an adaptation.
Correct.
But I would say, in regards to the remake of Sabrina, I find that it provides a lot more motivation for the characters, and I think it connects the dots in a lot better way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it improves upon the relationships of the characters and the character growths, and it gives a lot more backstory, I find, to the characters.
It does. It definitely is a movie of its time. Both of them are. They both are movies of their time.
The 90s one's definitely a 90s movie.
Correct. And that's why I think it was, dare I say, expanded.
Sure. I know what you're going to say. So real quick, I'll give a very quick plot synopsis for this one because it's basically the same plot, but there's some key differences in regards to the remake. In the remake, it opens with the same opening where it's Sabrina talking almost like the poem-like. That's the same in the original. And in this one, I find she's a lot more kind of nerdy in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
She's got the glasses. It almost looks like she doesn't really take care of her hair and things like that.
It's like the Ugly Betty type thing.
A little bit like that girl next door, doesn't quite take care of herself, but kind of pretty in her own way, you know? But in this one, she does not try to commit suicide in the beginning, but what she does do is she goes and tries to talk to David before she goes to Paris, and she doesn't quite confess her love to him so much as she kind of shows that she cares for him and supports him and wants him to think of her while she's in Paris. But Linus is there in the room and she doesn't realize that she's talking to him instead of David. Mm-hmm. And so it embarrasses her and causes her to run away. But it does automatically show the character of Linus that she is interested in David romantically.
Yeah.
And it gives them that bit in the beginning that is kind of similar to the original film. Just it takes away the whole, if I can't be with David and I'm leaving, then I'm going to kill myself kind of thing, which I thought was a little awkward in the original.
The suicide thing.
What did you think about that in the original? Yes, tell me.
So, no, because I did think about it. I felt it was more emblematic. Is that a word?
Emblematic
of
the time.
Teenagers of the time.
Oh, sure.
And the, I mean, not even at the time. I feel like women,
just
like
teenagers, in general.
Teenagers like that can still be, even men to some degree these
days.
Very
dramatic.
Very dramatic. Like, oh, if he can't, if I can't love him, then, I mean, we find this going back to Shakespeare. So
sure.
It was very Shakespearean and teenage-ish.
It was very Shakespearean.
And very,
That's a compliment.
In a way, it did come across a little sophomoric in another sense.
A little bit.
Yes.
I like that they didn't do that in the remake. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
But, and she goes to Paris, but in this version, I think she only goes to Paris for one summer.
Yeah,
right?
It comes across that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because it shows the changing seasons, and she comes back when it starts to get into the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's in Paris, instead of it being a cooking school, or even in the play, working as a secretary for the government or something, in the remake, she ends up going to work for Vogue. Because what I liked about this one is her trip's being paid for by the Larrabees.
Mm.
So I thought that was kind of cool. It shows that the Larrabees do care about her.
Yeah.
And that they want to help her out and like give her something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was interesting because that was new for this one. And so she works for Vogue and she really struggles, you know, trying to fit in and to be self-confident and everything. And she ends up becoming friends with one of the women who work there, who's like a mentor character. And she ends up having a brief romantic relationship with the photographer. And because of the two of the characters, she definitely grows as her own person and tries to get outside of her shell and experience life and becomes very Parisian. And the mentor character has this really great dialogue where she talks to Sabrina and she tells her that David is a dream for her and that David is too perfect and it's dangerous because life is not like that.
Yeah.
And I really liked that because it starts to plant these seeds for her.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, Sabrina ends up coming home. But before she comes home, there's a whole section where David meets Elizabeth, who's a doctor at a hospital. And Elizabeth is definitely more of the leader of their relationship, but also very kind and friendly. And she's the one who essentially asks him to marry her. In this one. And you get the sense that in this version, David is almost challenged by her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's scared of the relationship with her because he's kind of scared to settle down. But he's also very intrigued in her because it seems almost like she's exposing him to things that he's never thought of almost, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I saw that too.
And so you get the whole bit where he starts to meet her parents. And there's a lot of funny dialogue there, you know, with the parents. And But he gets really scared. And of course, as soon as Linus finds out that Elizabeth is the daughter of, was it Mike Tyson? Not Mike Tyson. Anyways, the Tyson family.
The Tyson, yeah.
And
not the chicken family.
Yes. And so he ends up working on a deal behind the scenes, which is very similar to the original film. And so when Sabrina comes home, it's right before Maude Larrabee's birthday party in this version. It's just her birthday party. It's not just a random party. And in the remake, the father's not in the picture anymore. It's just the mother, Maude Larrabee.
Yeah.
I love Maude Larrabee.
Oh, yeah?
She's so funny. And so she took over the family business after her husband's death. But you find out later on in the story that the absence of the father, his death, is part of the reason why the sons are the way that they are.
Yeah.
They've been so affected by their father's death that they've become the extremes that they are. And contrasting each other. And so when Sabrina shows up, David instantly is interested in her. He doesn't recognize her. It's similar to the original. But when he ends up inviting her to the party and she shows up, and in this version, Elizabeth is not at the party. She is away at a conference or something. But her parents are there, and the parents are really concerned.
Yeah.
And I think in one level, it actually works better that she's not there for a couple reasons. Because one, I feel like the parents get more protective when the daughter's not there because they have to step in for her. And two, I think it's much kinder to David. Because she's not there, and so the fact that he's interested in Sabrina, it doesn't seem as negative because she's not there. He's not actively trying to get her away.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because for most of the rest of the picture, Elizabeth is gone, like out of town, I think it actually makes a lot of sense because it already hinted that David was second guessing the marriage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so by having her away, you know, it's the idea of you're away and so you're going to start second guessing everything and trying to go back to your old life and that sort of thing.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
And so he's very interested in Sabrina and he asks her to meet him in the solarium, which is like a big greenhouse in this version instead of the indoor tennis court. Yes. With the tennis.
Wrong game.
Oh. That'd be a fun adaptation.
It was a I did like the solarium. I paid a little more attention to the...
Well, you know, I thought it was weird that in the original, you're inviting a girl to an indoor tennis court. Like, that's not romantic. And so it makes sense that you would invite a girl you're trying to woo into the solarium where all the flowers and everything are.
Maybe that was a thing in the 50s.
No.
Hey, come with me to the tennis court.
Jeez, that's slang, right? I'll meet you at the tennis court. I play some couples tennis. That was just one of the things. I think the film, the remake changes some things, like simple things, like they change it to the solarium because it's more romantic. And if you're wooing a woman, you're going to want to take her somewhere romantic. You know, that's in my opinion. And of course, you know, one of the changes is, you know, after David sits on the champagne flutes in his back pockets and he hurts himself, Linus goes out to Sabrina and it's similar. You know, he kind of has that game where he kind of plays with her and he acts like he's gonna buy her off, but he's pretending he's not actually buying her off.
Yeah.
And then she catches on and so she holds her ground, but then when he goes to kiss her, she slaps him.
Yeah.
And she feels bad about it, but
it's probably more realistic,
a little bit more realistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all in the family. No. So then the next day Sabrina goes to check on David, but Linus has made sure that David is like heavily sedated by the doctor, and so he can't really interact with Sabrina. And so it gives Sabrina reason not to be with David, and it gives Linus chance to keep David away from Sabrina, and like literally like David just can't even focus on what's happening.
Yeah.
And in this version, instead of just taking Sabrina out sailing and like distracting her with fun things, he actually leans into things that she likes and is interested in. Because she took up photography in Paris and she really likes it, and she's passionate about it, he asks her to take pictures of their house in Martha's Vineyard so they can sell it.
This version of Linus is a bit crueler in certain ways, I feel.
It seems like he's more manipulative in this version. In the other one, it really seemed really off the cuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm just keeping you away for a while.
Yeah.
Whereas in the new one, it's definitely more manipulative, like you say. But I think that's what makes his transformation much more interesting in the remake, because it seems like you'd see a lot more of a change in him. Where in the other one, it's much more subtle.
I guess I didn't. To me, it was so abrupt. I didn't.
In the original or the remake?
The remake. It's like it. I had a hard time psychologically accepting it.
Sure. Well, I think it's a lot of looking beneath the surface. To be fair, I think one of the faults that people place in this movie that mm-hmm. I kind of agree with is with Harrison Ford. Because I think because he was also cast against type in this film. And he was not... He said on the record this was a challenge for him to play.
Okay.
And so I think it shows.
Yeah.
But I think you can also watch it in a way where it really works for the character.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is he was never going to be Humphrey Bogart.
Correct. Yeah.
And so I think he just didn't try to be Humphrey Bogart.
Mm-hmm.
But because people like Humphrey Bogart, it automatically turned people off.
Mm.
He definitely comes off very robotic. But I think because they lean into that in the film, like they have dialogue that says that Linus is the only living heart donor. And he thinks that scruples are just money from Russia, you know, stuff like that.
So, I remember that.
Morals and scruples are just, it definitely shows more Linus's character and how he's just lost himself in the work and he doesn't really have a life and it's just go, go, go work and money, money, money and taking care of the family and whatever.
Yeah.
And so they lean more into that in the remake. And so it makes sense that, to an extent, it makes sense that he's very flat for the beginning. I think he's flat for most of the film.
Yeah.
But it at least makes sense to the character if you want to go that route.
Yeah, no, I agree.
One of the big changes in this one is once they get to Martha's Vineyard, it really starts what I like to call, is what Linus is saying true, or is he getting lost in the facade? Because he's putting on something with Sabrina. He's trying to convince her that she's doing something in him that she needs to invest in him now.
Yeah.
Because she's helping him to grow as a person and to have a life and all that. But what I find interesting is where does that line end with him? Because there's times in the remake where he talks to her and, like, for example, the part where she sees the old building that she really loves and he says that it's not going to be torn down because they own it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just on the spot says, you know, I'm going to turn it into a homeless shelter, you know, take care of the people, you know, oh, you know, we got to help the people.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. But then later on, he looks into it with his secretary and he says, what would it take to, what would be the tax cut for that, you know?
Yeah.
It's all business. But then in the end, he tells her, he's like, just do it. I want to donate it. Just, I don't care about the tax cut. Just donate it.
Yeah.
And so you start to see a change in him slowly. And so there's a lot of times where he says things like, there's lines where he says, oh, you know, people will be surprised to find out that Linus is lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really awkward. But I think it's because at first he's putting it on, but then he doesn't realize he's also saying a truth.
Mm.
Because he's expressing himself to another person.
Yeah.
So at first it's meant to be fake, but then he realizes it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets lost in it. And so he realizes in the film at times that he's in danger because he says literally he's getting caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't know like who's playing who, you know?
Yeah.
And so the film definitely goes that route that the original does not. And so, like, you know, she takes him out to dinner. She exposes him to different cultures. She takes him out to the Moroccan food.
Yeah.
I like the line where she's like, it's really better if you eat it with your hands, if you don't mind. And he starts to eat it with his hands and he says, it's really good. I should try it with soup sometime. And so you can see in this version, instead of just distracting Sabrina, it's a lot more of they're kind of working in each other.
Yeah.
She's definitely bringing something in him that's like revitalizing him and causing him to think of other people. And
well, because I noticed that when they were doing when he tells the secretary, hey, get us tickets to the show, book us a dinner here. And I want to say it was even the same places as in the original movie.
Yeah, I think so.
And then it all gets, he ends up putting all that aside for doing what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the part where he says, he's like, give me tickets for the most sold out show on Broadway. She looks at him all weird. He's like, I so seldom go to the theater. And she's like, seldom? And he's like, and she's like, well, the most sold out show will be a musical. And he's just doing his work. And she's like, that means that periodically the performers will just break out into song and dance. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, that was funny.
The secretary is hilarious.
Yeah.
I love the secretary. There's the scene later on where Sabrina doesn't know if she wants to go and meet with Linus because it kind of hints that she's struggling with emotions for him. And she's afraid of what's going to happen. And so she shows up at the office and the secretary's like, oh, Miss Fairchild, he's been waiting for you. You're late. And he's like, and second thought, don't let him know I'm here. And she's like, but he pays me to tell him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so real quick, back to the plot. So David is still kind of sedated and Elizabeth's still out of town. And Sabrina starts to kind of show an interest in Linus, but she really doesn't want to show an interest in him because she's still interested in David. But she's kind of struggling now because she hasn't been able to talk to David. And so she's really getting to know Linus and she feels like she's building a relationship with him. And Linus has the same plan as the original. He's going to get her to go to Paris and he's going to tell her he's going to go with her, but he's not going to go.
Correct. Yeah.
And at the last minute, he, of course, changes his mind. And there's a final scene where Sabrina talks to David right before she's going to leave to go to Paris. And she's going to leave the picture and let David marry Elizabeth. Where you kind of piece together, in my opinion, that David has kind of come back to his senses.
Yeah.
And that Sabrina has kind of made peace with what's going on.
Yeah.
And so, like, they no longer have that connection that they did, especially because so much time has passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that spark is kind of gone.
Yeah.
And so they're moving on. But then, of course, David goes and confronts Linus and, you know, he punches him, and then Linus tells him, go after her, go to Paris, go be with her. And then it's the whole same thing where David realizes, okay, you are in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
But in this version, it hints that he's going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so what I really like in this version is Elizabeth came back. He gets Elizabeth to come to his office. And so he tells her, I have a story to tell you, but I need you to tell me how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this version, compared to the original, he tells Elizabeth everything that happened. In the original, Elizabeth has no idea what went on for like the last several days.
And I like that. I like that they added a depth to him at the end.
Mm-hmm. Like he
to
grew.
Show that he could be an adult, and then
right.
they continue on. Yeah,
yeah. As there was a line earlier on where they were talking at the picnic, and they're talking about the difference between Linus and David. And of course, you know, Sabrina's in love with David, but mm-hmm. they were talking about the differences between the two of them. And Linus says something about how David doesn't take anything seriously, like he never finishes anything, he's all over the place, and so on and so forth. And then later on, before they leave, she tells Linus that one day her father, and this is brand new, her father had asked David why he no longer goes into the office.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, why do they need me there? They have Linus.
Yeah.
And what I like about this is it's subtle.
Mm-hmm.
You piece it together, you figure it out. It's not in your face. And so you piece together that Linus became almost heartless and stoic and business-minded because his father died and someone needed to be the head of the household.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took over the business and he took charge. And so now David, in this version, doesn't really know what to do with himself. And so he just kind of loses himself in pleasure almost.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't need to be at the office because I'm not needed at the office.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it comes off. And so once I watched a video where it's on YouTube called something like Three People with Unfulfilled Lives.
Mm.
And so in the remake, it makes the focus on how all of Sabrina, Linus, and David have unfulfilled lives. By the end of the film, they're fulfilled.
Hmm.
And they all kind of help each other be fulfilled by the
yeah.
end. And so at the end, of course, what I like in this is it shows early on that Maude Larrabee is upset with how David is acting with Sabrina. And so she's trying to figure out what they're going to do to fix the problem. And she has the really funny line where she's working out and she says, oh, I don't know, I just pieced this together. Is this too on the nose? No. I just thought of this. I think it's on the nose, but I like it. They're working. She's literally working out. And this whole conversation, she's trying to work out how to fix the problem. I mean, people do this in movies all the time. Do you think that was on purpose, or am I just crazy? Is that stupid, or?
No, because I think it was, like, she even.
Intentional?
Yeah, because she even said it. Am I allowed to say that to
a
woman?
Yeah, I love that part. She's,
to another woman?
She's trying to figure out, like, how, she's like, I need to tell Sabrina, like, I just need to be honest with her, woman to woman. You're like, Sabrina, Dave is just yanking your chain. And it's just like, can I say that to another woman? And so you know that she knows that Linus is going to take care of the problem.
Yes.
But she's not really sure what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end, when she finds out what Linus did, she's a little upset with him. She's sad for Sabrina. And so he tells her, he's like, Mother, what did you expect would happen? She's like, I don't know. She's like, I think I'm getting old. I'm really tired. And so he says something that's kind of mean. And so it's the similar interaction that he had with his father in the original.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's the mother.
The mother kind of combines the two characters together.
They consolidate.
Not as humorous.
Not as humorous, but still really funny. It's just it's not as physically funny.
Yeah.
And so in this one, she says that she feels really bad for Sabrina. And then Linus says, well, what did you expect? She's like, you were never there the day after we fired someone or we let go of a company or whatever. You never saw their faces.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost a moment where she kind of wakes up too.
Yeah.
And so she realizes like all the damage that's been done and she doesn't like it.
Or who her son has become.
Who her son's become. She doesn't like that either.
Yeah. I think she knows who the other son.
Yeah. So because he says something like, I was raised to do this. And she says, I never taught you to be like this.
Yeah.
And so at the end, Linus is going, he calls in the Tysons and his mother, and they don't know what's going on. In this version, it's not the board of directors. It's just all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that something else is going on. You just don't know what.
Yeah.
And so David comes in with Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And in this version, he says that he and Elizabeth are going to elope and not have a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, what happened to Sabrina? And it's like, who? And it's like, the chauffeur's daughter. He's like, don't call her that, you know? And yeah. So they're kind of like teasing with him, trying to get a reaction at him mm-hmm. to see if it's the same thing. But in this version, Elizabeth's in on it.
Yeah.
And so she's pretending that David told her that Sabrina tried to like get her hooks in him. And then she switched to Linus and all that. Like she was like money grabbing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, in this version, Linus punches David and David's like, he is in love with her, you know?
Yeah.
And in this version, Maud Larrabee is also in on it. And he's like, and he's like, quick, you got to go. And he's like, where am I going? And he's like, and she's like, you're already packed. And he's like, who's packed? And his secretary is like, you're packed.
Yeah.
He's like, you went to my house and went through my things. And Maud's like, I took her.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite lines of the secretary is she says, I was elbow deep in your underwear drawer. It was like touching the Shroud of Turin. So the one line I cannot stand in this film that I just have to get over
mm-hmm.
is the part where the mom says, you're my son and you always will be, but I think it's time that you run away from home.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that, and to this day I'm always like, I don't like that line. There's something about it, it's just super cheesy, and that's like the one line I do not like in this film.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's fine, I get it, I get the sentiment,
yeah.
But it's a little weird. And so then, of course, in this version, It hints that David is not as stupid as you think he is, in that because like he went to school,
he has what it takes to just. And this is where I would go back and say this is where we could tie it to the father not being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has what it takes, but there's been nobody or no reason yet for it to come out of him,
and he wasn't needed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so he starts talking about what they need to do for the merger, and then the mom's like, David, when did you ever? He's like, Mother, you've CC'd me into all the memos all these years. You just assumed I couldn't read.
17 years, yeah.
You just assumed I couldn't read.
Well, there was that scene where he's like, wait, which office is where's my office?
Yes, where's my office? Well, there's a scene earlier where they go to David's office when they're having a meeting for the wedding.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, we'll meet in David's office. It's quieter. He never uses it.
And then the soon-to-be father-in-law is like, oh, yeah, we hired a nephew, he's too. Like, use his office for lunch.
Yes,
for luncheons.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, David, he takes the reins, and now he has new purpose, and he's committed to his new life with Elizabeth. And you get the impression that, like, a lot of characters have experienced growth by the end of the film. And so Linus takes off to go meet Sabrina in Paris, and, you know, he apologizes. Like, what I like in this one is he actually, there's catharsis. Like, mm-hmm. he actually talks to her, he apologizes, and he's remorseful, you know?
Yeah.
But then, and then they kiss.
Yeah. Overall, I mean.
And then the father actually has money in this version.
Oh, yeah. The dad at the end.
The dad admits that it's similar to the play. Cool. In like the play, mm-hmm. he actually has $2 million. And he says it was always his dream of his wife and him to set up Sabrina in a way that she would be taken care of and live out her dream. And mm-hmm. so he gives her the money to go back to Paris where she was always happy and stuff. And of course, there's the added little bit where he ends up getting married to the other servant who he had a relationship with. But
yeah.
Remember the really young Paul Giamatti?
Yes, I thought that was funny.
With the crazy hair.
That was interesting.
They definitely gave a lot more character to the other servants here and there.
Rosa?
Yeah, Rosa.
They were funny.
When I come to America, I was just like Sabrina, only bigger.
Fuller or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
No, overall, I would say this is definitely the better screenplay.
Oh, yeah, it is a great script.
Yes, but the actors, with the exception of the younger brother and maybe the mother, I would say in this one, the difference between the two for me was that the other one, the two main characters had stronger gravitas and drew me in a lot more than Harrison Ford and Julia Ormond.
Sure.
However,
I found Julia Ormond very endearing, though.
I thought she was okay. She didn't really do it for me, if you will.
Sure. I don't know. I think she's attractive, so.
Yeah, no, she is, but I
she was also very young when she did this, too.
The lack of femininity. She wore so many pantsuits.
I think that was a product of the 90s.
It was.
I mean, she looked gorgeous in her ball gown.
She did, but I wish she would have been more feminine.
I think that was a way to show growth in her character, too, because in the beginning, it has her in the dress where she's very modest and all that. And so later on, when you shows her, it shows you her in the pantsuits and stuff. It's mm-hmm. more like she's growing into her own person. But I think very similar to what I said about Audrey Hepburn in the original one.
Yeah.
Where I think she's more mature in the remake, whereas she's more childlike in the original.
So.
And so that is a big difference that I think you could dislike.
Yeah.
But it's very similar in this one that I think they ease into it. They talk about it more in this one because there's actual dialogue in this one. Because in this one, you get the sense that she once again tried to just be a completely different person after coming back from Paris. And the impression that I get is the real test of if she's changed is in with the interaction with the family and with David. And so she's really scared about the change and like living up to the change and stuff. And she has that line later on where she is in love with Linus and she says how a fool she was because she tried to go to Paris to change and she cut her hair and all that stuff. And I think by the end, when all the main characters found the happy medium.
Yeah, yeah. I still didn't care for her that much, though,
sure.
To be honest. I felt she
I
was
think
also
it's a matter
too,
of preference.
She was also too old for the role for me.
Okay.
I thought,
okay.
I was like,
she, you know,
just
she was like 24.
No, she said she was like 30.
No, she was not.
I'm unless I did my
look
math
it up,
wrong.
Look it up. Let me find this. Ah. What year was Julia Ormond born? Hey, Google.
No, don't ask my Google.
Maybe I'm thinking of Audrey Hepburn's age.
Filming.
So much of this is going to get cut out.
She would have been 29 or 30 years old while filming.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Because even my wife noticed that. She I could tell she did not like that she was older. And she's like, she looks like she's 30. And then she's the one who did the math.
I think she's older, but meant to be younger.
Yeah, but she looks old. And looking at it, compared to the teenager.
You know what's funny, though, is when you see her outside of the costume, she looks younger. Because I watched her in an interview after the movie,
yeah,
and she looked like she could have been maybe 25.
Okay, yeah. Just for me, it didn't do it. Yeah.
But I think it's also, I think part of it is from a modern view, too, because the clothes they had her in are clothes that we also view as older clothes now. And so, and like with the pantsuits and like the very formal kind of look.
Well, maybe it's also because I don't care for pantsuits.
Sure.
I don't
think
find
if
it
they're
attractive.
Done well, they're fine. But
pantsuits on women for me
I think
are
dresses
like
are more flattering for women.
They don't belong on women.
Sure. I don't think most people should get tattoos in general. But
yeah, I know. That's a whole other topic.
Anyway, I don't know. I like Julia Ormond. I thought she was very attractive.
That tangent was just for you, our listeners. And the other one, too, is I love the, what was the name of the brother? The younger brother?
David?
No, the actor.
Oh, Greg Kinnear.
Yes, Greg Kinnear. My wife pointed this out, and in watching it, I had to agree with her. His portrayal of David was a lot better than the... I mean, William Holden is fine. I like William Holden as an actor.
Oh, he does a good job.
Yes, but it's I like
but
the characterization.
But he's like reprehensible as David.
Yeah. No, but the characterization and the growth were so much better. And then the mom as
well, it was so abrupt for David in the original.
Yes, it was.
It was almost like no reason for him to change.
And then the mom, like you said, was a really good character.
Well, the mother's compelling
out.
In the new one.
Mm-hmm.
She's fun. She's hilarious.
And she's not as cold. Like, yes, there's that part of her where it's like,
no,
what?
She has. It's funny because by the looks of her, she looks very cold. Mm-hmm. And you can see why she would do well as a businesswoman. But at her heart, she's got a warmth and she cares.
Correct. Yeah. And I like that addition as well.
Right. That's one of the things I really liked about the remake is I think it's when you can do female empowerment done well. Because they have Elizabeth as a doctor who's like the head of her department.
Yeah.
And you have the mother Larrabee, Maude Larrabee, as the head of the business. Mm-hmm. And then you even give, you know, Sabrina like her hub, her passion, and she's into photography and she wants to do all these things. And so it's a way that they updated it for the time, and but it's not in your face.
Correct. No, I it was done fine. I think just Sabrina was the weakest of the three women.
Sure. I think the issue that some people have had with her that I saw in comments on YouTube and videos is that in the remake, all of the main characters, especially Sabrina, lack the confidence they have in the original.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's a preference for sure. But I think one of the things that they really like about Audrey Hepburn in the original is she's just always very self-assured and upbeat and confident. Whereas in this one, it's a lot of unsureness and awkwardness and so on. But I think it's just you taking it a different way. And I think this one definitely psychoanalyzed the characters more But in a way that wasn't over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's modern movies these days compared to the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think the remake is a lot kinder to David.
Oh, yeah.
And I was happy for that.
Yeah.
But remember the line that I thought was funny is when they're planning the wedding and it's the Tysons with Maude and they said, we thought we would do the invitations on recycled paper. And then Maude goes, but it always looks so dirty.
Yeah. That was funny.
Which is funny because at this time, recycled paper was much newer. One of the things I wanted to say is I found this. In a 2000 interview on Think Tank with Ben Wattenberg, Sidney Pollack reflected on making the film and the idea of movies as art. As quote, he says, "It wasn't a good idea, by the way. I got clobbered for redoing Sabrina. I thought I could add something because of the time that went by. But it turned out that people really didn't want to see a remake of Sabrina. But I'm not a big fan of remakes. You know, essentially, when you do a play, you're reinterpreting a work of art that already exists. That's not what happens with a movie. With a movie, you're creating from the beginning this particular work. Let's not call it work of art. Because very few movies are works of art. Let's just call them bits of popular culture. Whatever they are, sometimes very rarely by accident, a movie becomes a work of art. You know they don't start out that way. You may start out that way in the mind of the filmmakers, but from a studio point of view, they're a product." Mm-hmm. And I definitely get what he was saying, because he definitely was trying to add to it. This movie is probably twice as long as the original, and it's because of the character growth and some of the backstory and motivation. And I think he fixes some of the little problems that you find in the original that I think if you just love the original, you just don't care. I just think it's rough. If you love the original so much, you're going to be unhappy with changes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it goes back to what I was saying in regards to what makes a good adaptation and why it's subjective and people have different reasons for why they like a remake over an original or vice versa.
Yeah.
And for me, I prefer the remake to Sabrina because it takes itself seriously, whereas the original doesn't. The original one is just fun, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie. It knows what it wants to be for the most part, even though they were writing it as they filmed it. And so it really just a comedic romance. Mm-hmm. Whereas I find that the remake is a dramatic romance that has funny moments. And so I think I appreciate and prefer the remake because it seemed like a love letter to the original, but in a way that, like you said, expanded it. Mm-hmm. Like it really showed that it took great care with the original, all the while trying to, I don't want to say improve, but make it its own.
Yes. Yeah.
And modernize, obviously.
Yeah.
And so it didn't get lost in the weeds so much as it was the Sabrina of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. No, it was. It was.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yes. I mean, overall, I enjoyed the movie, but it did not have the same gravitas as the original did for me.
Okay, why?
The actors. The actors very much were, for me, just being watching it, it's a very hard one for me to come up with a, like, I've been already pre-reviewing in my head my
original analysis?
No, my rating of it.
Got it.
Well, and it's like, I can't rate it above the original, even though it has a tighter, better script.
Mm. When I think this goes back to what people prefer, right? Because I think if you just want to watch something that's fun and it's a decently written film and it hits all the good points and it's very romantic and comedic,
yeah.
The original's great.
It's almost like saying the difference between seeing a scenic painting versus a Van Gogh.
Mm.
Okay. One, to me, comes across a little more as a work of art, even if it is a bit dated and not quite a whole picture and a whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you're looking at a scenic painting, let's say a Kincaid or something, not quite like that, but something where it's like that, where it's a background, you know, a dock and the ships and stuff like that. And it's a comforting picture that I can hang up on my wall and see every day.
Huh.
But it's not necessarily what I would, in my mind, see as a work of art.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to express this in words because I'm not quite understanding why I see them that way.
Mm-hmm. Give it some time. So, taking your analogy, I would say for me, the original Sabrina is like Van Gogh, whereas the remake is like Sunday in the Park with George, like. Not that's not the name of it. A Day on the Grand Jatte.
Yeah.
By George Seurat.
Yes.
Because it's pointillism. So for me, I kind of view it that way because the original is fun. It's exciting. It's memorable. And it's a novel. It's novelty in a way.
Correct.
And you like it. You want to go back to it because it's interesting. It's a little different. It stands the test of time. Whereas I view the remake, for me, a bit more of like a higher art in a way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's similar to the pointillism in that it's all of these little things that create this big picture, and it's the art of there's so much more to it than you think there is, and you just have to kind of look deeper, and you appreciate the big picture because of all the little things that have made it that.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. No, I got that. I sense that's how you were viewing it. I think for me, it's a little more like just a generic painting, but it's still a fun one to have on your.
Helps to view them as just very different films.
It does, and that's why I think it's very hard for me to compare the two against each other.
Because the first Sabrina is very much go go go, very fast, very comedic, very fun, very romantic. Even though I think it's got its problems. But the remake is literally a slow crawl.
It's a
slow build. It's a lot of character development.
I think that's kind of I think I had more of an emotional reaction to the scenes in the original than I had in the remake. The remake didn't pull it out of me as much as the original did. I don't know why. Mm. Once again, I'm not sure why, but since I watched them kind of, within days of each other?
Sure.
I noticed that.
I think The original is I don't want this to come off negatively. Mm-hmm. It's very much for the masses. It's like,
which one is?
The original. Mm. It's very much for the masses. Like it was made in a way that like most people would like it. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think the remake is much more of it's almost meant for a specific people of a certain sentiment, where people who really like to look deeper beneath the surface and really like to know motivation and you know, stuff like that. And so I think that's why I like it. But I think what I appreciate the most for it is, like you said, the very tight script and fixing things from the original and motivation that they imbue into it and stuff
I think
like
for
that.
For me, the big aspect of it is her. I'm not sold on her.
Really?
She did not
Julia Ormond's as Sabrina?
As Sabrina. Julia Ormond as Sabrina did not pull anything out of me.
Do you want to know why I like her?
Why is that?
In the original, Audrey Hepburn kind of comes off as like, I'm just playing. Like, I'm just having fun and I'm going to do what I want to do and I find joy in life everywhere kind of thing, which is fine. Yeah. It's great. But in the remake, she's this person who longs for more and she's kind of coming into her own and creating this new thing for herself, but is still very kind and friendly to other people. Mm-hmm. And even when she's like asserting herself, she's still very, very friendly and aware of other people's feelings and that sort of thing. Like how she's friendly with the flight attendant on the plane, whereas Linus is very curt with her. And even when she says things to Linus to show that she's grown in confidence in herself, and she says things about Linus like, you're the only living heart donor and stuff like that. Like she still is very aware of like how it's going to come off to Linus, but she has the confidence to say it to him.
Yeah.
And things like that. And, you know, there's things like that about her. Like she's just a very kind and generous person. Like she seems a bit more altruistic than Audrey Hepburn's version. And I think I liked that.
Okay.
I love Audrey Hepburn and Sabrina is great. I think I would get very annoyed with Sabrina with the Audrey Hepburn version. Whereas I feel like I could actually live with Julia Ormond's and really like her and appreciate her and so on. Does that make sense?
It does. No, because I've had interactions with a number of different types of personalities in the last 20 years of women, and
it never
endeared itself to me in the original times I watched it. It was just another romance movie, and like I'll be honest, I even got a little bored in the remake a couple times in the romance time, like the romance scenes between her and him.
I definitely think it is a little slow. At times.
Yeah.
Like I said, it is a slow crawl.
Yeah. But it was a fine movie. It's the type I would have on in the background, and probably if it was on, I'd watch it probably.
You know what's funny is, ironically enough, like, I'm very aware that it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think Sydney Pollack almost leans into that in a weird way, almost unintentionally.
Okay.
In a way that if you're prepared for it, because of how slow it is, it draws you in.
Mm.
And the way, I think the only way I can describe that right now is it almost builds suspense. It's like if someone was going to tell you something, it's the anticipation. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it draws you in because you're waiting for it.
I hear what you're saying. I didn't feel that, but
that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original Sabrina, in my opinion, it's a lot of fun. It's a very good casual watch.
Correct.
Whereas you can't casually watch the remake. It's very much an investment, not only in just time, but in like attention.
Since I grew up with it as a casual watch, that's kind of how it fits to me. Yeah, it would
you're
be a bit
of a contrarian
watch.
Today, aren't
I
you?
I know.
You're like, I disagree. I casually watch it all the time.
It's okay. I'll go put on my own movies.
I was very curious which of these two you're gonna like, because they're very different.
Yeah, they are.
Well, anything else you want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. If there are any other people out there who prefer the remake, I would love to hear why you prefer the remake and agree with me. But anyways, you want to give our rating for this one and our favorite character, and then we'll do the adaptations for both?
Go for it.
All right. So favorite character for this film, mine is Maud. That was an easy answer for me.
Yeah, I'm leaning between Maud and
the receptionist.
No, yeah, for like
she would be
lines.
A close second for me.
I resonated with the father just because because he reads. So I was like, told my wife, I'm gonna get a job as a chauffeur.
And that was a line from the line from the play.
Yeah,
when she tells him, I love that you took a job as a chauffeur because you wanted time to read. Because that's that's one of the other examples of how they actually went back to the original play with the Sydney Pollack version.
Yeah,
yeah. So I like that.
I'll have to say my favorite was probably Maud as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Maud, and then just for the fun, David. But Maud is my favorite.
I liked David because of his character progression in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think his was the...
Well, in this one, he wasn't married like three times either. So.
And so you got to see him. Now, he got on my nerves in the beginning, the first half.
A little bit.
But by the end, I was kind of cheering for him in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I really liked the way they summed up his character at the end. Mm-hmm. And so... He was almost the one I was going to choose, but then in the end, nah, I like the mother probably better.
Well, that's the one thing for me that I appreciate about the remake is that all the relationships between these characters felt real in the remake to me. Like, they felt like brothers, and like the relationship with the mom and everything, like, it all felt real to me, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so ratings, 1 out of 10. For you.
You know what?
You wouldn't give it a 1. That's too mean.
Yeah, no. This is a hard one.
One would be, I never want to watch this again, and 10 is the best.
I'm vacillating between a 6.5 and a 7.
Okay. You gave a 7 to the original.
No, I gave a 7.5 to the original.
There you go. So you're going to give this one a 7, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
6.5 or 7?
I'll go with 7 just because of the screenplay.
There you go.
I'll dock off 0.5 for the two main
characters.
It's
a very well-written screenplay.
Yeah, it was. That I enjoyed, even if I didn't care for the acting as well.
There you go. I want to give it a 9.
Wow.
I know. it can't get a 10. It can't. There's enough about it that... But I think for the fact that I want to watch it as often as I do, and I really enjoy analyzing it and stuff, I want to give it a 9, just because of the screenplay and... what they did with it, and I enjoy it a lot.
Okay, because
for me personally, it really does something.
Yeah,
it invokes something in me that wants me to be a better person and makes me think about life a little differently and so on.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it, I don't know. I'll give it a 9.
Okay.
And that's mainly for me only because Harrison Ford is a little flat at times and
yeah.
that one line of running away from home. But that might be a little generous, but I don't care.
Sounds good.
All right. So now's the time for our episode where we talk about what type of adaptation is this. We will do adaptations for both the remake and the original. If you have not listened to our episodes before, you can go check out our trailer where we talk about the four types of adaptations I've come up with. There is true to source material. There is expanded. There is artistic, which usually has to do with symbolism and metaphor and stuff. And then there is message driven. So, for the original Sabrina from the 50s, what type of adaptation is this?
I mean, so it's not a full remake because they changed a lot. So I would probably say it was a little more of the switch of message.
Yeah.
So it was more message driven.
I would say that too. Mm-hmm. And for the remake?
Expanded.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely expanded. Oh yeah, for sure.
I'm getting better at this.
Yeah.
Usually I'll give my opinion.
We don't get a lot of the artistic one. We've been a little liberal in regards to how we use that one, but we don't get a lot of that one because I'll tell you what, those are the ones that are very polarizing.
Did you say we are a little liberal? I mean, we're actually conservative in giving that one out because we rarely do.
No, we're liberal in how we use it, I'll say.
Oh, okay. That you meant in how often we give it out. I was going to say we rarely give it out.
No, in the meaning, I mean.
Okay. Yeah, no, this definitely expanded. I think that's one of the things, and you know how I feel about expanded stuff. I always love more. That's why it was so close. Like, there was part of me that wanted to rate them both almost the same, but I just couldn't do it.
And I'm very aware that everybody has different interests and sensibilities, and so this movie's not going to be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely did something for me that was personal for me. So I get that.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll rewatch it and get more out of it. Maybe you won't. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's it. I think we've done it all.
I think we have.
Wow. Anything else you want to say?
I think I'm good.
All right. Well, for all you folks out there, thank you once again for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And if anything, I hope if you haven't watched any of these films, I hope you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope we didn't give everything away.
I think we already did that.
But there you go. Thanks
but
again for
listening.
But
you get to enjoy it, watch it for the first time.
Or hopefully. With new eyes.
Or with new eyes. There you go.
Yes. Stick around. We have some great episodes coming up here. And we'll catch you next time.
All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Willing to Adapt.
Please follow or subscribe. Maybe leave a review or just share us with friends and family.
We would also like it if you would follow us on social media.
If you have ideas for future episodes for us, please email us at ericandromy@willingtoadapt.com.
That's Romy with an I.
And remember, when the only thing constant in life is change, be willing to adapt.